Well, it's Easter Sunday. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, with all due respect to our beloved Ravens, today is the Super Bowl of real life. The Super Bowl of real life. You see, Easter proves there is a Super Bowl at the end of life, and Jesus wins it. On this day, Jesus answered the biggest question you and I will ever face. Is there life after death? Is there hope beyond the grave? The women went to the tomb and it was empty. The angels declared, "He's not here. He's risen, just as he said." Death is not the end of your existence. There's a bodily resurrection. Jesus, the firstborn, raised to life, proves it. But what does it mean? 2013, Baltimore, Maryland. What does it mean? You see, Jesus' Super Bowl win, his win over death, explains how much we matter to God. Did you listen to what Kitty read from Genesis 22? Abraham, take your beloved son Isaac, the one you'd waited decades for me to give to you. Go up onto a mountain and sacrifice him as an offering to me. Can you imagine? Would you sacrifice one of your children for your friends? Would you sacrifice at your hand one of your children for your enemies? But in obedience, Abraham trusts God, and he takes his son Isaac up onto the mountain. He lays him on the altar. The son looking up at him, "Dad, where's the sacrifice?" He binds him. He lifts the knife to kill his son. And the angel of the Lord calls at the last moment, "Abraham, Abraham, do not do it. Now I know that you love me enough to sacrifice your only son." Well, on that first Easter weekend, Jesus wasn't so lucky. God's son, the one who was beloved, took the knife. There was no substitute for Jesus. He was the substitute. He was the lamb given as an acceptable sacrifice to God on our behalf. Romans 6, the wages of sin, your sin and my sin, is our death, separated from God forever. But the punishment that brings us peace, that spares us from death eternal, was laid on Jesus. Why? Because just as God mattered to Abraham enough that he would have killed his own son, so we matter to God. Do you believe it? Do you know how much he cherishes and loves you and wants to be with you forever? God demonstrates his love for us that while we were still his enemies, Christ died because he loves us. Easter is the Super Bowl of life because Jesus' death proves you and I matter, that God is with us, that he's got a hope and a plan for our lives. God gave his only son that we might not die, but live forever. God loves you and me more than we could ever have imagined, despite what our circumstances might tell us. Well, Jesus' Super Bowl win over death also changes the way we celebrate in life. Did any of you notice how the Ravens celebrated their great win? Were any of you, raise your hand, I know, were you watching the TV that day? You see, as soon as the game was won, the clock wound down, what did they do? You saw it. A hush came over the crowd. They all sat down in neat rows and pews. Organ music, quiet and subtle, started to play. A sense of decorum filled the stadium. There was silence, reverence for Ray Lewis. Reverence for the mighty Ravens. Each enjoying quietly the victory in the privacy of their own thoughts and minds. Are you freaking kidding me? Confetti, music, the new sports car for for Flacco. People dancing in the streets, literally in Baltimore, there's stories of people hugging strangers, right? Come on, it was the Super Bowl. Parades, music, speeches. How many of you were in the stadium for the parade? None of you, a few of you. Pretty cool. Yeah, you were in the M&T box, weren't you? Going crazy, I might add. Listen. If you knew that you would never die, that nothing or anything bad that's ever happened to you will turn out for the good, that in the end, everything that in life that really matters will be made new, that you'll be raised to new life in a body that never breaks down, that you get to party with your best friends and family members forever, how would you celebrate? How would you do it? Give us some quiet, oh, you're not, give us some quiet, somber organ music. No, just kidding, you're not there. Come on. Acts 17:6 says the disciples were so radically changed and celebrating Jesus' life. You know what they did? It says they turned the world upside down. When they were murdered, when they were hung on crosses themselves because they claimed Jesus was alive, people, the account said, there was a joy and a celebration that radiated from them that literally changed everything. One of the disciples, when he was being led to his death, James, the soldier who was there ready to behead him, was so moved by his joy that he became a Christian and followed Christ on the spot and was killed with James. Joy and love, self-sacrifice, humility, peace abounds when the Easter reality hits our lives. One theologian put it this way. Because of the resurrection, the reality will be for all who trust Jesus to raise them from the dead, that they'll find the worst things that have ever happened to them will in the end only enhance their eternal delight. Jesus beat death. In the back of the bulletin, I gave my short little testimony about how I met Christ when I was a teenager. But I got to be honest with you. One of the things that did not change after I met Christ was my disdain for church services that seemed perpetually stuck on Good Friday and never celebrated the Super Bowl win of Easter. Stephen knows. I can't stand it because, you know, in our Anglican tradition, every Sunday we celebrate Easter. Do you know that? I can't stand it when we play opening preludes that make it sound like we should have celebrated the Super Bowl, the Ravens win, with solemn organ music. Are you kidding me? Look, I'm not saying there's not a time for silence and solitude. We just come through 40 days where we do sit quietly and we look at the cross and we remember who Christ was, and there's a time for silence and solemnity. But come on. Look, if God loves us more than we could ever hope or imagine, that what other people think about us is not the standard of who we are, if we can be forgiven and made clean, if we can know God personally, if he's got a plan for our lives that is so far better than any plan we could have for ourselves, and if eternal life in bodily form awaits us forever, how shall we live? Like every day is a Super Bowl win? Not sticking our heads in the sand and separating ourselves from suffering. We live in a broken world. But shouldn't we have a hope and a joy and a peace if we know the resurrected Christ? You see, the Super Bowl win of Jesus changes the way we celebrate and the way we win. One more, just one more. Jesus' Super Bowl win over death means that if there is a bodily resurrection, and if it's offered to every single one of us, you and I will never meet anyone who might not spend eternity with us. Let me put it this way. If eternal life is offered freely on the basis of Christ's death to everyone, if Jesus is literally inviting you and me and the people we don't like, the person in our family we're not speaking to because of the way they've treated us, the boss that fired us unjustly, if this is really good news for everybody, ready for this? We might spend eternity with people that aren't like us. If Jesus is actually inviting everyone onto his team to celebrate his glorious Super Bowl victory over death, then everyone you and I meet is potentially a family member that we'll be related to and spend time with forever. You know the phrase, you can pick your friends. You can pick other things. But you can't pick your family members, right? Eternal life is being offered to you and the people you can't stand. This hit home for me a few years ago. I was in youth ministry. I was coaching lacrosse down at St. Stephen's St. Agnes School. There was a kid on my team who was the most popular kid in the school. And he hated me. He knew I was a Christian. He couldn't stand Christians. He wasn't just like ambivalent. He'd literally tell people Christianity, what our coach believes. He only knew that because I actually ran the Christian Fellowship. I never really talked that much about my faith during the lacrosse practices. But he knew people who were coming to the, and he literally started a campaign to shut down the Christian Fellowship at St. Stephen's St. Agnes School. And he was so cool, the fellowship went from about 30 kids reading the Bible to about 3. And they were all freshmen and didn't know this guy. And I remember thinking, I can't wait till this freaking guy graduates. I hate this guy. God, he is like the antichrist to what you want to do and share the love to these kids. Well, you can imagine what happened about 15 years later. I get a handwritten letter in the mail. Dear coach, you may not remember me. Gave me his name. He said, I met a girl. It always comes through the girl for these kind of guys, right? Girls, we need you to love Jesus, you know? And I just want to tell you, I've become a Christian. The first thing that hit me was, God, forgive me for the way I just couldn't stand this guy. And I didn't love him like you did. Thank you for a woman who's willing to love him in his pride and his arrogance. And Lord, I can't believe he and I are going to be brothers forever. I wonder, are there people in your life that you'd say, no, I would, God, don't give them your grace. They don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. Yeah, point the thumb.